Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. As believers, it's very clear that we are called to look different than this world. Join Pastor Nate as we discuss what a Christian should look like in this series we've called Attire.
I've called this message tonight, Say It Like You Mean It. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul writes, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ." He says the people that don't know Jesus, they act like this. They behave like this. They think like this. They go here. They talk like that. All these things. He says, but you, that's not what God taught you. Once you've placed faith in Jesus, that is not your life any longer. And then he says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He says, you are, once you've placed faith in Jesus, a new creation. You're no longer this old person. You're no longer defined by your sin or your failures or your regrets. That's not you anymore. You're a new person. But because you're a new person, he basically says, act like that new person. Don't pretend, don't act like you haven't been redeemed. Don't act like you haven't been set free. Don't act like you're not new. And then he says, therefore, verse 25, he gives us some application because we're a new creation. He says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. That's a wake-up call, right? Be angry and don't sin. Good luck with that. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And then this is the part we really are going to talk about. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now the Apostle Paul is writing about the effects of a relationship with Jesus. Like I said, this is who you are now because you've placed faith in Jesus. All you have to do is recognize your sinfulness. All you have to do is recognize I don't measure up to God's standard, which is perfection. You believe in your heart, confess in your mouth. You are saved. It's a done deal. There's nothing to add for it. There's nothing to take away from it. You are saved. But because you're saved, because you're a new creation, it should begin to affect the way you live your life. You've placed faith in Jesus, and it's a done deal. You're saved. But then day by day, we're being transformed into the person that God wants us to be. And so part of that, because we're a new creation, it affects every area of our lives. And in this text, Paul mentions multiple times how it changes the words we say and the way we speak. Multiple times he brings up this idea of communication, of what we say, what we speak, because it's an important aspect of who we are as Christians, and it serves as a role for us as we seek to minister to people with the message of Jesus Christ. Your words, they have power, they have significance, they have importance, they have value, and they play a role in our job, which is to, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach. That means communicate the gospel message, who Jesus is, to every single person you can imagine. And so the key element that he's given us is our voice, but this is the key. This is what we're going to talk about. If we don't use our words correctly, we can limit what God wants to say with our words. If we don't speak what God wants us to speak, if we don't communicate the right way, then all of a sudden what God wants to communicate through us no longer has any effect. And so we're going to talk about some of the roles that our words play. The first is influence. Influence. What you say builds up or breaks down. Influence. What you say builds up or breaks down. Paul tells us to not allow any corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. The word corrupt that he uses there in verse 29, I believe, he said it means rotten or of poor quality. Rotten or of poor quality. Like, think about the banana that's been sitting on the counter for too long. Like, that's the idea. Let no rotten banana come. No, not really. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It means to break down or to fall apart. On the other hand, he says, don't let any corrupt, any not necessarily, I mean, it is negative, but rotten, poor quality, falling apart. Don't let any of that come out of your mouth. But rather, he says, that what is good for necessary edification. This word edification is the complete opposite of the word corrupt. Edification is literally means the act of building up. So corrupt word is breaking down. It's falling apart. It's rotten. It's of poor quality. And then on the other end, he says, but instead, speak that as good edification, that which builds up. Because we're a new person in Christ Jesus, we ought to make sure that what we say builds up rather than breaks down. And how we communicate with people, we should recognize, is what I'm saying, is it going to build this person up or is it going to break this person down? You know those types of people, right? That no matter what you do, you can't win with them because they always either outshine you. You're like, oh yeah, well, I did this. And you're like, well, whatever. Or they say, that's not even that cool. And they break you down. You know those types of people that no matter what, it's like King of the Hill syndrome. Like somebody's at the top, and so you got to bring them down with you. And so it's so often so easy for us to communicate like that, to break people down. We look at people, we find the flaws. We look at the negatives, and we try to break them down. And he says, don't break them down, rather build them up, because our words have influence. What you say matters. It has power to motivate and influence people or minimize and break them down. Your words has the power to motivate somebody or to minimize somebody. Your words have the power to get somebody going. Like, I'm excited about who I am. I recognize God's call in my life. I see my potential. I see what I can do. Or it has the power to make somebody go, I'm worthless. I can never get there. There's nothing that anybody ever sees in me. Your words, you, I'm speaking to you. What you say absolutely matters, and it has power to build people up or break people down. I'm sure all of us have been on the receiving ends of both of those. Somebody encouraging us, and all of a sudden we're like, yeah, I can do this. I can make it. I can pass this test. I can make that team. I can get that job. I can go there. Or we've been on the other end where it's like, there's no hope for me. I am going to fail. I'm not going to make it. They're building up or breaking down. You ever been motivated to do something because of what the people around you are saying? You're like, oh man, it works in both situations, right? For you to do a good thing or for you to do a horrible thing, right? People around you are like, you should do it. And you're like, I don't really know. I don't know if my parents would like that. And they're saying you should do it. You should go for it. You should. And then it's like pretty soon they break you down to a point where you're doing something you wouldn't do if it wasn't for them. In the same way, in a positive sense, they can build you up to go and do something that you wouldn't do without their motivation. Our words have power to influence, so we need to make sure our words build people up because we are responsible for what we say. Now, not just to speak nice things. I think it's bigger than that. It's not for us to just speak nice things, but good things. And what I mean by that is we are responsible for sharing the gospel, which means good news. And it is the most powerful and influential message that there is. The power of Jesus, for us to be saved by God, that message that we were sinners, but God loved us so much that he took our punishment, that we could have right relationship with God, that message, the good news, the gospel, we are responsible for carrying that message. That is the ultimate building up message. Saying God was so good, he loved you so much that he literally stepped into time and space and made a way for us to know him. And once we know God, we're responsible for that message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, it's on the screen. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, meaning we're not trying to boast in ourselves. I'm not telling people about me. And who cares about me? He says, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts, listen, to give the light of knowledge. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He says that we have received the gospel that we might give the gospel. We've received the good news, the message that God loved me so much that he saved me. He's given me that message for me to tell other people. And I love, he just recognized the reality. It is a treasure, a heavenly treasure, Jesus in earthen vessels, meaning not that great of vessels, meaning kind of broken, kind of awkward, kind of clumsy, kind of me, kind of you. It's this idea, this heavenly message in an earthly vessel. God has given us that message to share. So our words not only need to be nice words that build people up and encourage them, but that our words are sharing the message of Jesus Christ. God has placed the treasure of heaven in our hearts, and it needs to be shared with our mouths. That's what God has called you to do. God has called you to share the message of heaven. It is a broken vessel that God's chosen to use. He could have used way better, way smarter, way cooler people than you and me, but God has chosen you. The Bible says that he has chosen the foolish things to put to shame the wise. That God uses people like that so he gets all the glory. But God has chosen to make us the mouthpiece of heaven. You have something important to say. When you know Jesus, you have something important to say because you have been chosen by God to be the mouthpiece of heaven. Our words have influence, so we need to be influencing for the right things. Second rule our words play is in our intentions. Our intentions. What slips out is as important as what we speak. Intentions. What slips out is as important as what we speak. Paul uses the word in verse 29. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Proceed, it literally means to go forth or to flow forth. It carries the idea of what comes out of our mouth naturally. Like it just comes out. Like these are the words that we use that they just flow out of our mouth. Not necessarily or not really at all premeditated words, but words that are more instinctive. It's not words that we thought about. Like you ever had a situation where you've really thought out what you were going to say and you imagined their response and then you imagined your rebuttal and then you imagined their statement and then you remembered your closing arguments and you the whole thing. It's not really a premeditated thing, but rather what just sort of, what's instinctive, what just comes out, what proceeds out of our mouth. And Paul warns us of what we allow to flow from our lips. And not only, and not to allow corrupt words to slip out of our mouths. And this has pretty obvious implications. Not only do we need to watch the words that we say or the way that we speak in the sense of whether we build up or break down, but also the types of words that we use. Especially the words that just slip out. You ever been there? A word just slipped out of your mouth and you were like in front of your mom and you're like, oh no. No, just me? All right. Well, I'll be up here alone and awkward. I think it's getting hot up here. Anyways, you say a word and it's like, oh, that just came out. Like it was not the right word. Or maybe a few youth pastors and I were talking recently about the most awkward accidental word we've ever said from the stage. And they were like, I can't believe I said that. I'm not going to get into it, but anyway, it just kind of accidentally slips out, right? And sometimes we have those words slip out. Listen, what slips out is often a byproduct of what we put in, right? What happens when you stub your toe and what comes out is usually a byproduct of what you put in. The way you describe another person is usually a byproduct of what you put in. How you feel about yourself or the way you handle situations when you're frustrated or when you're upset or when you're excited is usually a byproduct of what you put in. And the reality is we need to watch not only what we think or how we speak to people, but the words that we use in communication. We need to watch the words that slip out, but also not only the words that slip out, but also the words that are on purpose. Look at verse 31. Jump over. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. All of these are actions with intentions. This isn't what slips out, but what we say on purpose. Bitterness is a result of holding on to something and then acting upon it, right? Somebody gives you the cold shoulder at school and then you just hold on to it. And then pretty soon it gets a way bigger deal than it was in that moment, but it festers and it overflows. You're like, I can't believe they looked at me like that. I can't believe they treated me like that. And bitterness, and then pretty soon that bitterness leads to action, right? Like, I can't believe you said that, or you looked at me like that, or you didn't say that to me. I'm like, I don't even remember that. What are you talking about? And that's what bitterness does. Anger is the result of a previous experience that causes action, right? You're angry about something because of this situation or because of what didn't happen or what did happen. Evil speaking is something you bring up and are intentionally talking about. And this is usually done behind somebody's back, right? Evil speaking is usually done when that person isn't around. Did you see so-and-so? I can't believe they wore that. So lame. And they walk in, oh, hey, you look great today. How's it going? Evil speaking is usually a result of being behind somebody's back. And all of these are premeditated conversation, premeditated words. And we need to make sure that the intentions of our words are good. Put it this way. In the first point, we need to make sure that our words lead to good motivation. In this point, it is that the motivation behind our words are good. The first is to lead people to motivation, influence, right? You want to encourage them. You want to build them up. You want to lead them to their potential. This is what is the motive behind what you're saying. Why do you use those words? Is it because that's what everybody uses to describe this person? That is how we feel that is what we say when we feel this way. That we say that because that's what they say on the radio. We say that because that is what is the motivation behind what you say? What's the motivation behind the when you confront somebody or when you talk about them behind their back? The first is you need to make sure your words motivate people. But the second, you need to question, why am I saying this? What is my motivation behind saying this? Why are we saying what we say? What we say matters. So we need to make sure we are wise with what you say and when you say it. Proverbs chapter 25 says this. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken. You ever been in that situation where you're just going through it and somebody comes up to you and says something nice just in the right time? And you're like, I needed that. Like that is, I was on the verge of breaking down, of just giving up, of being done. And all they said was like, man, your hair looks great today. And you're like, I absolutely needed that. Or you've been on the other side of that where you're like about to break down and then somebody said like, oh, what are you wearing? And you're like, oh, it's just like the end of it all, right? Like you've been there. And he says, a word fitly spoken, a right words at the right time. And that takes being intentional with our words. Saying, I'm going to communicate to this person. I'm going to build them up. My motivation is that I can motivate them to do what God wants them to do. We have motivation behind our intentions, and we got to make sure that our intentions with our words are good. We have to consider the significance of what we say and be specific with our words. So influence, intention, the third role our words play, and this is really the motivation why we're careful with what we say. And this is identification. Identification. What you say shows who you are. Identification. Just like an accent gives away where someone is from, the words we speak show who we are. I'm going to say that again. Just like an accent gives away where someone is from, the words we speak show who we are. Paul says in verse 32, look at this. This is so powerful. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, ready for this? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. How much has God forgiven us of? Well, everything ever. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in the very act of sinfulness against God, Jesus came in, took our place, and forgave us of it. He has forgiven us of everything. And he's like, oh, no big deal. Like, you know, you want to watch what you say, watch how you say it, be nice to people, don't lie, you know, those kind of things. Also forgive people like God forgave you. Oh, that's easy. No problem, Paul. Thanks for that. Like, we're good. All right, good night. What are we talking about? Like, that is, but listen to this. When we forgive, we're like God. Think about that. When we forgive, we're like God. I think we're probably the closest to like God when we forgive. When somebody has wronged you, especially when they have wronged you and you are right for being mad at them because they have wronged you, and you say, I forgive you anyways, not because you're looking to get something out of it, like because I forgive you, like they'll buy me something or whatever. Like, it's not that idea. The idea of forgiveness is I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm not going to hold it over your head, but I am letting it go. I am forgiving you. And when we forgive, we're like God. We are identified with God. Listen, you are called to be set apart for God. If you've believed on Jesus, you are called to be set apart. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Listen, which is your reasonable service. It makes sense because of what God's done for you to surrender all to him. It's not even an argument of like, oh, that seems a little crazy. It is your reasonable service. And then he says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to be set apart unto God. And when we set ourselves apart, our lives should look set apart. Meaning our lives should look different than those that don't know God. And so our words should be set apart. You should use certain words and not use certain words because it identifies you as a follower of Jesus. That's why. That's our motivation behind making sure we do say this and don't say that. It's because it's our identification. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says this, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven, and our speech should reflect where we're from. We are citizens of heaven. We're not from earth. Our home isn't this place. We are from heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and so our speech should reflect where we're from. Paul also says that our speech should impart grace to the hearers. Look at that again in verse 29. He says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. One of heaven's loudest messages is the grace of God. Right? That's what heaven shouts. That's what heaven screams, is that you are broken, you are sinful, you fall short, but God intervened. God showed up in time and space, in humanity, in earth. He showed up because of his grace. That's heaven's loudest message. That's what heaven speaks over and over. The theme of the Bible is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the plans that God has for our life, not because we're worthy of it, because his grace is so good. Heaven's loudest message is the grace of God, and our lives should reflect that. The motivation behind what we say is because what we say sets us apart. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not from here. We don't belong here. The Bible says that we're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. This is temporal. This is going to end. Flesh and bone, it's going to wear out. Our skin's going to sag. We're going to fall apart. We're going to die. It's going to end here. We are passing through from here into eternity. Our citizenship is in heaven, and our speech should reflect where we're from, just like an accent gives away where that person's from. And when we set ourselves apart, we will have influence with the gospel. It's an important principle that we listen to me, it is an important principle that we practice what we preach, right? We've heard that. Practice what we preach. What I'm talking about tonight is that we preach what we preach. What I mean by that is what else we say backs up when we preach the gospel. You know, so often we're like, yeah, sometimes we're like, okay, God's opened the door. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to present this to somebody. God has a plan. God loves you. He saved you. And they're like, where did that come from? Every other word you use in our conversation, the way you talk about other people all the time, the, how you choose to that is that doesn't even make any sense that now you're talking about this heaven thing and this God thing and this sin thing. Like, you listen, you need to practice what you, not only practice what you preach, you need to preach what you preach. You need to make sure that the rest of your conversation matches up with whenever you have the conversation about Jesus. Our words should represent what we believe. Don't let your words disqualify you from being able to share with someone about your belief in God. Our words will identify ourselves with God, or they will identify us with the world. And so our motivation behind being careful with what we say is so that we can be used to share the message of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. What you say matters.
Listening to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you and your relationship with Christ. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Nate, check him out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow him on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.